everybody. Welcome to All Have Another. I'm your host, Lindsay. Thank you so much for being here today. If you are new, joining us for the first time, welcome. I'm so glad that you've taken time out of your day to be with us. And if you are a returning listener, thank you for coming back. I hope we give you something you like today. I am super excited about this episode. This is episode 21. And I promised last time that when I got to episode 25, I was going to do something super special. And the countdown is already on. I still don't know what I'm going to do. So I've really got to figure that out. But anyway, today we're talking with Emily Infeld. And I have to say, I pronounced her last name wrong like 5 different times during the interview. And when I was editing it back, I was just cringing. So I'm sorry, Emily. I know you got my email too, but I'm so sorry I pronounced your name wrong. I bet that's something people do all the time. So for those of you who don't know who Emily is, this is a really exciting episode. Emily is an American middle distance and long distance runner. She ran for Georgetown University, and after graduating, she went on to run for Nike with the Bowerman Track Club. So Emily, she did compete in the 2012 Olympic trials, and she came back in 2016, and she earned herself a spot on the 10K Olympic team in Rio. So it's super exciting. And not to mention last year in 2015, she also won a bronze medal at the World Championships in Beijing. So this is a really accomplished young woman at only 26 years old. She's got so much ahead of her, and I had so much fun talking to her. I actually had a couple people request to have her on, and my husband was one of them. He said, you should have Emily Infeld on. So I figured out a way to get in touch with her, and you know, before these interviews where it's someone that I've never actually talked to before, a lot of people that I interview, I've had conversations in person, or at least I've known them online for a while, and I've never met Emily. So I get a little bit like, ooh, is this gonna flow? Are we gonna have a good conversation? When it's someone that I really know not much about and have never met. But let me tell you, my husband was like, she's just a normal girl like you, and she likes The Bachelor, so, you know, what more is there? So I knew that she'd be fun to talk to, and it was just such a natural, easy conversation. So we had a lot of fun. I can't wait to cheer for Emily in Rio. So her race is August 12th, you guys. So make sure that you have that DVR'd or you plan to watch it live, because it's gonna be so awesome if you can watch it live. I don't know, can you watch it live? I assume you can. Yeah, let's just say you can. Before we get started talking with Emily, I'm gonna try to make this fast. If you are loving this show, if you would go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you're listening, and leave a review, that would be so wonderful. And if you can share the show, so on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you are talking to your friends or your people, if you could share that you're loving this show, that would be so awesome. It is seriously, other than the ratings and reviews on iTunes, the best way for people to find out about what we're doing here is when people tell them about it. So I've had a lot of people recently that have been new listeners saying, oh, I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw it on someone's Instagram feed. So I really appreciate that. And I'm just gonna read one of these reviews. This is my newest review and I was super excited to see this. Kelsey May 24, highly recommend. I was lucky enough to come across this podcast while looking for something to keep me motivated during my first half marathon training cycle. Lindsay has the unique ability to make you feel like you're a part of the conversation by making all topics relatable to each of her listeners. Even though I'm a middle of the packer at best, the inspirational and inclusive women she shares stories with give me confidence to call myself a runner. The podcast has given me so much encouragement to achieve not only my running goals, but also my regular life goals. I could barely run a mile 6 months ago, and yesterday I crossed the finish line to my first half. Not to mention, it's incredibly fun and entertaining. Brightens up my Friday afternoon commute or Sunday long run, if I can wait that long. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to future episodes. Hello. Congratulations, Kelsey. That's so awesome. You completed your first half marathon. I'm so excited for you. And I'm really happy that I've been somehow able to be a part of that journey. And it just makes me so happy to know that these women are speaking to you. So I appreciate you listening, and I really appreciate your review. You guys follow me on Instagram, LindsayHine626. Follow me on Twitter, LindsayHine. And Emily and I talk about Snapchat a little bit at the end of this episode. So find me on Snapchat. I'm trying to figure this thing out, and I'm just at LindsayHine on Snapchat. Okay, so I've rambled on way too long for this intro. Let's get started talking with Emily. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it so much.
Oh my gosh, no problem.
So funny because, okay, so long story short, my podcast, like I started wanting to do this podcast last fall. And yep. I just started bringing on like a bunch of runners and, you know, whatever. But anyway, when the trials were going on, my husband was like, you should get Emily Enfield on your show. I'm like, okay, how am I going to go about doing that?
Yeah.
So I like Googled your name and I was trying to find a website. I couldn't find how to email you. So I was like, well, I'm just going to be a total creep and message her on Instagram.
No, I love that.
And, like, so. People have sent me Instagram messages before that I've completely missed. So I'm like,
yeah.
I see it, like, a month later because, you know, it doesn't just pop up on your feed or whatever. So mm-hmm. I was like, well, I'm just going to do this. This is going to be a shot in the dark.
Yeah. No, I know. I actually didn't even know. Like, I feel like I had a bunch of requests, like, a month ago, and I had no idea because they, like, get hidden in there if you're uh-huh. not friends with someone. So I'm, like, trying to get better about checking them so that doesn't happen again because I felt so bad. I was like, oh,
on
my
Instagram.
Gosh, I am. Yeah. And like, I have these messages from a while ago and I probably just look terrible. I like not responding to anyone, but.
Well, and anything I ever read about contacting anybody to be on your podcast or whatever, it's always like, that is kind of like a tacky way to do it. But I was like, well, I don't know how else to get a hold of her. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. No, oh my gosh. Not at all. It was perfect.
We're talking to Emily Enfield, and Emily, do you just want to tell everybody kind of where you grew up and what life looked like as a, didn't you grow up in Ohio?
Yeah. I grew up in right outside of Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah. And I have two sisters, an older sister and a younger sister. And kind of grew up playing all sorts of sports. I did a little bit of everything. I did even some like gymnastics, Irish dancing, basketball, softball, tennis, swimming, and then started running in the summers a bit. And then I just really fell in love with it, I think, in grade school and became really focused on it in high school. And beyond. But it was fun. It was great. I love my family. I'm super close with my parents and my sisters. So it was great growing up and just kind of getting thrown into lots of different sports and activities.
So wait, you said you have two sisters?
Yeah.
Are you in the middle?
I'm in the middle.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah. Ah,
love that.
So you're 26, right?
Yep.
So my husband's a total creeper. He's the one that told me to have you on. And the other day yesterday I was like, all right, so Emily said she would do the interview tomorrow, so you're going to have to, like, give me some things to talk about with her. And he was like, well, I think her mom is a mayor, and she's really into The Bachelor.
Oh, my gosh. That's so embarrassing. That's, like, what's on my Twitter, I feel like.
That's
everyone,
everyone
makes fun of me. I feel like I've gotten all the girls in the group, though, to watch The Bachelor. Like, Colleen Quigley and Shelby Houlihan had never seen it before, and they just watched last season, and now they're addicted. And we were just watching last night a little bit, but such a guilty pleasure. It's good, though.
Well, we have to talk about that after we talk about running, but I have to tell you, my kids are in childcare on Tuesdays,
yeah.
So I can do, like, podcast stuff. And so last night I couldn't make it to the end because I was just so tired. So I just finished the rest of last night's episode.
I haven't finished yet.
I won't say anything. Well, yeah, I won't say anything at all. Okay.
Okay.
But I do have a new favorite person, but we'll talk about that. I thought it was funny that he randomly knew that your mom was a mayor. Is that even
yeah.
true?
Yeah, she is.
Okay. Is she the mayor right now or was she the mayor?
She is right now. So okay. She was all growing up, she was on city council and just super involved in helping the city. And she got our city pool built and that sort of stuff. And she's been the mayor for 6 years now.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. She loves it.
So then do your sisters run?
Yeah, my older sister did. My younger sister never really got that into it, but she has been doing half marathons and stuff now.
Okay.
Which is awesome. She just was never as into sports as my older sister and I. But my older sister, Maggie, ran at Georgetown as well. So it was really fun. We overlapped a year together. So her fifth year was my freshman year. We're both 1500 runners. I was more 15 5K and she was 15 8. She's way faster than I am.
She ran
like a 201 800.
Oh, wow.
I've not run close to that and I haven't run an 800 in so long. But it was really fun because I think I got involved in running, looking at her and how much fun she had doing it. And yeah, it was just a good segue into that. And then I really fell in love with it. And it's fun because both of my parents have gotten into marathons as well. And then my younger sister is just starting to get into halves and that sort of thing. And she absolutely loves it. Has so much fun.
So your parents run marathons?
Yeah. So my dad has run, I think he's run 26 marathons.
Oh, wow.
And he's done 10 ultra marathons. Oh, so he cool. loves, like, the longer he can go, the better.
So do you go out and like, cheer for them if you're in ever in the town that they're doing them?
Yeah, so I've seen more when we were younger. Mm-hmm. Like, we went to Boston and watched the Boston Marathon, and my dad loved it. I think that was so fun, and we got, like, lobster rolls and clam chowder, so we had the best time doing that.
So when I was researching for this interview, you just Google your name, and I look at your Wikipedia page, and it said something about that you were doing race walking for a little while when you were, what is that? I was like, is that even true? How much can you believe Wikipedia?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wikipedia is so funny.
I know. Like,
you never know it's true because someone can just go in and edit
right.
it, which is so funny, but that's totally true. So when I was younger, we did, do you remember AAU track? It was like that summer track. I don't even know if that's still around or if people do that.
Either.
But that's, I think, when I started to get involved. My older sister, I think she was in like 7th or 8th grade, and she had been doing it. And I was like, oh, I want to do that in the summers too. And for whatever year I did it, I forget, it was like when I was maybe like 10 or 11, but, the AAU national meet was in Florida, and it was right around, where Disney World is, or Disneyland, whichever one's in Florida. And my mom was like, oh, you guys qualify, we'll get to go to like Disneyland. So I was like, oh, so fun. I totally want to. But I hadn't really run before. So I ran the 1500 and I didn't make it, but the race walking was the next day. So I like hodgepodge just threw myself in. And I think I got like a bunch of cards because I didn't really know what I was doing. So I was like, there's like a ton of technique to it. And if you haven't done it before, you don't really know. So I somehow was able to qualify because I don't know if there was that many people doing it. That's probably more the reason. And then after that, I had to practice my technique so I wasn't going to get disqualified when we actually went to the race. But it was funny.
That's hilarious. Is that ever do you ever look at your Wikipedia page like to see if it's, this is actually true or not?
Yeah, no, I haven't. I think my mom probably goes on it far too often. I'm sure she's like a Google alert on my name.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's so funny. But no, yeah, I haven't done that. I probably should just to make sure there's not anything wildly wrong.
They seem to be pretty accurate, but it's really weird. Like, who are these people that go in there and update them? It's so
probably
strange.
My mom.
Your mom, she does. She probably added the race walking.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's hilarious. So, okay, so when in high school were you like, I'm probably good enough to run collegiately in college?
I think, so it's funny because my sister was 4 years older, so it was nice because when I was entering high school, she was just going into college, so I got to watch kind of the recruitment process for her and all that kind of stuff, and she was such a stud in high school, so I was like, well, she was so good, like, I don't know, she's getting all these coaches and all these people calling her, so I was hoping that I could do that as well, just because you get, I don't know, so many opportunities from that, which I'm, so lucky that running has brought me that. And I think I don't even know. I was focused more on high school and I knew I wanted to run beyond that, but wasn't sure exactly where I would go or how much interest there would be by college coaches and whatnot. So I knew I wanted to, I just didn't know, exactly. Yeah. I guess if it would be feasible, I kind of knew that I was going to make it feasible, but didn't know what kind of opportunities I would get. So I think after my freshman year, I loved the 800 and I thought I was going to be an 800 runner. And it's funny because over the years I keep getting like bumped up distance. Uh-huh. But I just feel lucky that I got to watch her go through that process. And I think it helped me out a ton and kind of showed me what to expect.
So what does your sister do now?
She's a doctor. So she's just started her third year residency for internal medicine and she's at Duke Hospital.
Okay.
She's awesome. I don't know how she does it. She's working like 100-hour weeks.
Oh,
I was
sure.
I was just texting her now. We have a family thread and it was so funny. I was making lunch and in the time I was making lunch, I had 36 messages from my sisters. I was like, oh my gosh, it's been 10 minutes. I was like overwhelmed. But I love them and it's nice because we don't get to see each other that often or talk that often. But when we do, it's like, not a day has passed. And I'm sure you like are similar yeah. with your sisters. It's yeah. so funny.
So then if she's working, is she running much at all then? I mean, I'm sure she's like doesn't have much time to even do that.
Yeah, no, so that's, she loves it still, and I know she'll get back into it mm-hmm. at some point, but I think right now, probably just taking a little break from it. And we actually, so in 2012, we both were at the trials.
Okay.
I ran the 5K, and she ran the 8 and the 15, and I think that was, she took a year off of med school at that point and was like, I'm going to take a year off, just focus on running for this year and see what I can do. And then after that, I think depending and what she felt like she needed to do was either going to maybe prolong med school more or jump back in it and continue on that path. And she just decided after racing in 2012, she's like, you know what? I gave it my shot. I love running, but I really want to be a doctor, and that's where my heart's at. So just threw herself right back into school and then has been running, but just not competitively since then.
Okay. So when you guys were in college, so you went to Georgetown.
Yeah.
When in that part of your career were you like, I could maybe do this professionally.
Yeah, I don't think I even knew at that point really that professional running existed.
That's so funny. You're like the second yeah. person. I interviewed Molly Ludlow and she said the same thing. She's like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Oh, I love Molly. Side note, was really happy to see her run 157.
Oh my gosh.
Incredible.
Insane.
So incredible. Gosh.
Yeah. She's from, she's from Ohio, but she
yeah.
ended up marrying somebody that I went to high school with. So she lives in the same town. She lives in Indianapolis where I live, so I kind of know her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
that's
she's super
awesome.
Sweet. But she said the exact same thing when I was like, when did you think that you could go professional? She was like, an agent came up to me at the end of my, I think it was her last race, and talked to her about it, and she was like, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's funny. I knew. I think, too, because my sister was older and I had some older teammates who were continuing to run beyond college, but there just didn't seem to be much opportunity there, so I didn't really know what professional running was, and I think in my mind it's kind of like, oh, you, like, pay your way and go race and try to make mm-hmm. the Olympics. So when I came out, I was, like, lucky, like, super lucky to get the opportunity I did and pleasantly surprised about it, but I don't think maybe until my senior year was I starting to be like, oh, this is a thing that I could actually do and maybe support myself yeah. on for a little bit.
When did you start running with the Bowerman Track Club?
Right after I graduated. Well, I guess so in 2012, that was my senior year, and I was going to go back for a fifth year. So I had applied to grad school and was going to go to grad school at Georgetown, and then I went over to Europe in the summer and just wanted to do that racing circuit and try it out. And my training partner, Liz Malloy, at the time, she was a bit older than I was and had just gotten a contract from New Balance. So she was going over there and I kind of just tagged along with her and did some races and went in with the mindset that I was going to go back for a fifth year and was like, well, I might as well just try this out and see what this is like. My college coach, Coach Miltenberg, he was so great and awesome. And he's like, I know you have like a good opportunity. He'd been talking to Jerry Schumacher and he's like, I don't know if you should go professional this year or if you want to or not, which is so funny because I feel like it was kind of whirlwind. Like I didn't know that that was going to be available. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I've been talking to a coach and I think you could go this route if you wanted to or take a fifth year. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then going to Europe, I really loved that. And then soon after that as well, I like pretty much had made my decision. I was like, well, maybe I should just try to go after running right now. And then my coach as well, like right when I was making that decision, told me that he was going to be going to Stanford to coach. So then that really solidified. Mm. I was like, okay, well, if you're not going to be at Georgetown, I don't know who the coach is going to be. It's going to be a new coach. Maybe I should kind of follow this path now that it seems to be presenting itself. So I decided in, I think, like the beginning of September and then went and did like a couple of visits. I visited Jerry and the OTC group as well and then Julie Benson, who I knew just through Georgetown, and just to kind of see what life would look like, I guess, at that point. And then was talking to Jerry a bunch and soon after decided I wanted to kind of be a part of that group. And I was talking with my agent and got a Nike contract and then moved out at the end of October. So then I've been with them since.
Okay, you're still with them. You're yeah. still with them. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were. So was that super intimidating to go like, be like, all right, I'm here. Let's do this.
Yeah, well, it was crazy. And it was weird, too, because there was a huge guys group, and then it was just Shalane and Kira,
yeah,
who also were totally focused on the marathon when I arrived. So it was just totally different because I was someone who was like a 1500 runner that had just started doing 5Ks, now training with these marathon women, but not only, I mean, not any marathon women, like,
right,
like my two idols who I looked up to growing up, Shalane and Kara. So it was just really crazy. And I think that was a big pull why when I had the opportunity to join this group, I was like, gosh, I can train with Kara and Shalane. They're people I've like looked up to forever and ever. And they've been in the sport for so long and have had such success and know so much about it. So I knew I could learn a lot from them. And I do think, too, going to a place with people who are significantly better than you and older, wiser, mm-hmm, I thought would only help me in the long run. So I was just really lucky to have that opportunity. And they're great. Shalane is like an older sister to me and has looked out for me a ton. So it's really nice. And I still keep in touch with Kara as well. And, yeah, just was really happy to make those friendships and learn a lot from both of them.
I bet. So they're 10K runners turned marathoners, aren't they?
Yeah.
So do you think that you'll ever dip into that marathoning?
Yeah, I've talked to Jerry a little about it. We did some super long runs this fall. In winter, I did my first, two runs over 20 miles, and we were doing them up pace, like a little, having a little bite to them. It was hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard. It was one of those things that I was like, oh gosh, like I'd have to go 6 more miles and I probably have to go faster than the pace we're going. But it was good. It's good practice. I think that strength work is good and it translates to a good 10K. But I know I'm not strong enough right now. I would love to at some point. I just want my body to hold itself together. It's one of those things that I seem to be super fragile for whatever reason. I think my last injury was more my stubbornness than anything. I think that has been a lot of my injuries, is that I push myself a little too hard, and I'm still trying to find that fine line and that balance of not running yourself into the ground, but pushing yourself to kind of see what you can do. So I don't know. We'll see. I have to get a little smarter with my training at first, but I would love to eventually. It just sounds really daunting right now. And looking at the training that Shalane and Amy Craig do, it's insane. They're so impressive. So
yeah,
right now it seems like a huge feat. I don't know if I could do it, but maybe one day.
So you've had 3 stress fractures?
Yes.
But was the last one really this past March?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't believe that you came back, like that you did that, and then you came back and you ran so well at the trials.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Luckily, honestly, it was probably the best place I could have gotten it. It was in my lesser trochanter. So it was a super weird one, but I was nervous because that's right by your femur head and neck. So when the radiologist called me, he told me kind of where it was and said, and I was like, wait, what? And I was like, your femur, because it's like off your femur. So he like at first just said that. And I was like Googling and there's all these things coming up saying you needed to get surgery. And I like totally freaked out and had a panic and was just looking up stuff without really knowing what I was doing. And I was like, oh my God, I have to get surgery. I'm not going to be able to run for a couple of months. Like, this is devastating. And then I came to find that it was in my lesser trochanter, which is like a little nub, it's like a little knuckle off the side. Which, I mean, you don't want to get an injury anywhere, but of all places to get it, I talked to Dr. Arnold, who's with USATF in St. Vincent's, and he's like, honestly, like, if you could pick a place to get a fracture, you would pick right there. Like, he's like, it's probably the best place you could get it. It's, he's like, because of the location, it's due to, like, your adductors pulling on it, so it's not an impact fracture. I guess it's, I don't know, it's because I was running weird, and I just overused my adductors, so it was just causing friction and tension and, like, pulling on the bone. So that's why I was doing, I feel like, starting to do a little cross training, and it wasn't really helping. But it was just because I had to basically loosen up that whole area and do stretches and then just focus on activation so I wasn't putting all my stress on my adductors and using other muscles. Sorry, long-winded answer.
No, it's not. But I'm just thinking, like, at that point, you're like, do you adjust how you run? I mean,
yeah,
you know?
It's hard. So I went to see John Ball in Phoenix, and he's just a guru. I feel like everyone has talked about him and told me how great he was. And I had seen him before Milrose, and he was watching me run, and told me that he thought that I had a stress fracture at that point. That was back in February. Mm. And I was like, no, there's no way. It doesn't hurt that much. So I kept running on it for a couple more, for 6 more weeks. And then I finally got an MRI and I had a fracture. So I don't know if it was a fracture at that point. It was probably just a reaction in starting, but I could have saved myself a little more time if I was just smarter. But instead I was like, oh no, it doesn't hurt that bad. It's just something muscular going on. But he was telling me too, he's like, I mean, based on how you run, this isn't surprising, but at the same time, he thinks that kind of how I run, I could get more power in my stride that way. And it's like your hips are super tight. You don't have good range of motion. So you're kind of forced to lean forward and you kick really far back in order to get that extension. But because you do that, you put all your stress on your low back and your hips and pelvis. So he's like, no wonder you've gotten 2 sacral stress fractures because you're putting all your pressure on that part of your body. But he's like, you do run pretty well that way. So he's like, I don't really want to change too much, but I don't want you to keep getting injured because you're putting so much pressure on this area. He's like, we just have to really strengthen it and do some fine tuning. But I think it's hard because there is no perfect way to run. Mm-hmm. And you've run so many steps a certain way. Your body's used to that. And you've created just kind of good patterns and your body's used to those mechanics. So trying to change anything drastically is your body's probably going to go into shock, and you have to kind of gradually do that and work on strengthening and whatnot. And I remember, I think, talking to Jerry about Paula Radcliffe, and he was like, she's had really terrible form apparently, but I mean, clearly she's the world record in the marathon. So yeah, whatever she's doing was working. And he's like, people tried to fix her and change her form, and she ended up running so much slower after that. So
I've thought about that a lot. Because it's that what's natural for you. And if you start doing something that's unnatural, and then I get nervous, are you going to injure something else because you're not running naturally?
It's like, oh, sorry. If that part's weak on you, if you're changing your form and then trying to use other muscles or other mechanics, but your body isn't strong in that way, I do think that's another recipe for injury.
So are you focusing on strengthening the hips and all that and still pretty much running the same as you were before?
Yeah, I haven't really changed my mechanics so much. It's more so just focusing on strengthening. And John thought too, he's like, if you focus on these kind of corrections and strengthening these muscles, it'll help your form a bit. Because right now I really haven't been able to engage my lower abs, and I don't use my glutes. And he's like, we don't want you to change your form totally, but if you can use those muscles a little bit, it'll take some stress off of the other muscles. And he's like, they're not strong enough that you'll be able to run your whole 10K, using your glutes first and then your hamstrings. He's like, your adductors and hamstrings are probably going to kick in sooner than you'd like. But if you could run a couple laps before that happens, then that's a couple laps of stress taken off of that area that's already really overworked. So I just do a lot of band exercises and glute activations, and a lot of posture. I have terrible posture, and I've created this bad habit of leaning forward, and that puts extra strain on my low back as well and on my hips. So it's a slow process, but right now I'm just doing a little bit every day to just help that strengthening, and hopefully over time I'll just be stronger in general. So we'll see.
So when you're racing... do you even think about, once you get to the start line, you're like, I'm racing in the Olympic trials. Are you even thinking about any of that, or are you just racing?
No, definitely just racing. Yeah. I do my activations, and I'm like, okay, my glutes are turned on, awesome. But the second you're on the line, you're just my mind's turned off of everything else, and all I was thinking about was just hang on and stay relaxed and don't freak out too much.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, as a professional athlete, because, I'm an average runner. If I get injured, I'm like, okay, whatever, I'm injured. I'll be back in 12 weeks or whatever. But, this is your job. This is your life. So when you get a stress fracture, what goes through your mind? How am I going to get back from this?
Yeah, it's definitely devastating. It's hard, and it's one of those things that I want to be I've been injured enough and come back that you think I would have a better state upon hearing that I'm injured. But it's the same thing. I feel like I go through the same emotions, and I am super emotional, and I love this so much. And it's hard. It's one of those things that I do feel like I had to almost put all my eggs in one basket. And I really, especially this year in particular, like solely focused on running. And that's one thing that's really great about our group is that we kind of create this environment where it's, that's our focus and our number one. And we don't have like super lucky in the sense that I don't have to work outside of running. I can really just like, it is my focus. It's my job. And I want to do most everything based around it. But then if something like that happens, it's a little shocking to the system as well. And just devastating. Cause it's like, shoot, this is like all my eggs are in one basket. And like, yeah. What do I do now? And it's hard cause it's like a fine balance. And I don't know, it's, we travel so much and are at altitude so much that it just, it wouldn't really be feasible to have a, like a real job outside of this. And I probably do have to get a little better with finding balance because it's one of those things when everything's going great and you're thriving, you feel phenomenal. But then something like that happens and it's just like a major gut check and you're like, gosh, like this isn't going to last forever. And it's hard. It's, yeah, just makes you question a lot. And it makes you, I mean, remember why you love it and why you want to do it. I think sometimes injuries can make you go one of two ways. And it definitely has given me a gut check and I felt devastated and been like, I'm never going to come back. But it does make me more motivated to be like, I'm going to do whatever I can to get back as quickly as I can. Like if I need to take 2 weeks off, I'm taking 2 weeks off, which is so hard to do. Because it's like when you're used to doing something every single day and sometimes you feel like lazy. I knew like certain days I had to just take completely off because my body wasn't cooperating. And I was like, this stinks. Like, I feel like such a waste right now. What am I doing? Like, I'm just going to go like buy a bunch of books and be like reading in my apartment and like watching Netflix. I feel like I should be doing something productive. But in my head, I was trying to tell myself that I'm like, the most productive thing I can be doing right now is to just be resting. And especially because of the short time frame I kind of had, it was like, Jerry was like, you have to heal that body. So like, take time off, like don't do too much cross training. He's like, it's better to come back a little bit out of shape, but come back knowing that your bone is healed opposed to trying to kill yourself and then getting back and trying to start workouts and being like, shoot, I'm not ready yet. So it was hard because I came in a little bit more out of shape because I wasn't doing as much cross training as I would like. I mean, I was still able to do a good bit, but I mean, if I could be cross training for 6 hours a day, I would probably would have, but right. That's not the smartest thing when you're trying to heal your body. So it's hard to pick yourself back up, off of that, but I have goals and I wanted to go to the Olympics since I was a little girl. And it was one of those things that I'm like, I have to just focus day by day and have that in the back of my mind is kind of my motivating factor for what I'm doing. But also be mindful that that might not happen and be okay with it and just see where I'll get. But it was one of those things that I was like, well, should I just give up? Like I'm injured. Like maybe I should just like throw my hat in and be like, yeah, like I was injured. So I couldn't run at the trials. And then that's my excuse that I didn't make the team. I couldn't run. I was like, I would rather go down fighting and like try to go after the race and maybe I'll blow up and maybe I'll get dead last and I'll get lapped a bunch, but at least I know that I tried and I put myself in that situation because you never know. And I trust my coach and that he would use that time to get me as fit as he could. He is a phenomenal coach and I feel like he's like, and like we need, he's like, if you can do 6 weeks of workouts, I think you'll be good. I'm like, Jerry, you have to tell me that because you need to keep me sane and you need to keep coming to practice. But he's like, I think you can do it. And I think maybe 2 weeks before the trials finally like started feeling like, all right, I think things are going in the right direction. I think I could make this team. I have a good chance. But it's the weeks before that you have to force yourself to go to practice when you're not feeling good and you're out of shape. And it's hard. It stinks, especially when I'm jumping in workouts with girls. And I was like, gosh, I was able to do all these workouts and crush it. And now I can barely do half of a workout with you. And that was one thing. I was so lucky to have my teammates and people around me and to look at and be like, I want to get back to that place with these girls and be competitive and be able to work out with them and finish a workout with them.
So when you started training again, this might be a stupid question, but did you have to then qualify for the trials still?
No,
you had already done that.
Yeah, I was super lucky because they took the time from May 1st of the previous year. So I had run the time in Beijing last year. And then also at the trials, which counted for, like I already had the Olympic standard and the trial standard, and then indoors I ran a 5K in Milrose. So that got me that standard as well, which was really lucky because that meant that I didn't have to race until the trials. I was thinking of doing a low key meet. But Jerry just decided he thought it would be better just for me to keep training. He's like, we could do it, but I think you get more benefit off of kind of doing some hard workouts. And he's like, I don't want to back you off any. And that way we don't have to travel to go to a meet. You can just kind of stay at altitude and focus on that.
Do you think you were overlooked for one of the girls that would be top three in the 10K because you were coming back from injury? Or do you think that you were someone that was really on everybody's radar?
I don't know. I honestly was trying not to look at what anyone was saying because I didn't really want to know. And like occasionally I get people on Twitter, which is so funny. It's like, Emily Enfeld's going to be a medalist this year because she like medaled last year. I was like, these people have no idea what they're talking about. And like someone like tweeted at me also and they're like, you had a great kick at the trials. I think you're going to win gold. And I was like, did you watch the race? Because I, number one, I had a terrible kick. I got crushed by Molly. So it was just really funny. Sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, people don't know what they're talking about. So that kind of stuff makes me giggle a ton.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to look too much into it just because I'm like, it doesn't really matter what people think. And I'm like, I don't think I want to know one way or another because it would be hard to hear people being like, oh, she's a lock. Like, she's going to be great. Like, this or that. Because it makes me nervous to be like, gosh, I don't know what kind of shape I'm in. And like, I don't want to disappoint people, so I didn't want to know that side. And I also didn't want to hear people that were probably saying, like, oh, she's injured again. Like, she's, who knows, she probably won't do anything. But she had an injury in March, like, looks like she won't make the team. So I just tried to avoid it because I knew that it was going to be one of those two things, and no one really knows. I did have some people be like, are you even racing the trials? And I would respond and be like, yes, I'll be there.
I've been working really hard for this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So when you raced the 5K too, did you, and I watched that, I guess it was live. Yeah, I mean, I watched both of them live. Did you know that you weren't going to then race the 5K in Rio if you made the team? Because you were fourth in the 5K, right?
Yeah.
And but then Molly wasn't going to go, so then you had the opportunity. Is that?
Yeah. So I was racing to try to be that top three.
Okay.
And also just to get a good race. And Jerry, he was like, you're not going to race again until Rio, so you might as well race the 5K here. He's like, I think it'll help jump your fitness, especially doing 10K and then two 5K is pretty close. He's like, it'll be hard and your legs are going to be tired. You haven't run a 10K all year, so right. Your legs won't feel good coming off that. But he's like, I think it'll help you. It'll be better work than we could get done in practice. And he's like, and Shelby's running, so you guys get to run together and that'll be really fun. And I think it's always nice having a teammate in there. I felt so much more at ease last year running with Shalane in the 10 and the 5K. It just made it feel like practice and made it feel like, okay, I can do this. And like looking to my side and seeing that she's there running behind her, whatnot. And it was just really comforting and really nice to have. So I really wanted to run that 5K to be with Shelby for that, just because I knew she was so fit and had such a good chance. And not that she needs my help by any means, but if it helped ease her mind like a teensy little bit, I was like, totally. Like, I would love to do that. And just, it'd be fun and like practice for us. But Jerry and I hadn't really talked about if I was going to do it or not. He was like, just focus on being top three and then we'll see. And I kind of just wanted to get out and get in good position and make it a decent run race because I knew Shelby was really fit and that she could have a good kick, but I didn't want it to be a super slow race. So I kind of went to the lead and then Molly was right next to me, which was really nice. Then it was like we got to run together and then I got my doors blown off the last 400 meters, which is totally fine. Shelby was like behind me and I feel like I had to be like, go around me. Like, go. I was like, don't get stuck behind me. Like, I can't move any faster. Like, I have no kick right now. It's like I have one speed. It happened in the 10K too. It was like Molly went and I was like, I'll be back here. Go ahead. Like, see you later. But it was funny. So when I finished, I thought that Jerry was going to be like, oh, you're just running the 10. Like, don't worry about it. And then he's like, do you want to double? Maybe we should double. Like, I think we should double. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, I just assumed I wasn't going to be running. But I didn't want to tell anyone that because I hadn't really talked to him. So a bunch of people afterwards, media, were asking me, and they're like, so are you going to give up? Like, Molly said she's not going, so are you not going to go? And then Abby will get to go. And I was thinking about it, and I didn't really know I'd mean that, because that would be devastating to, like, make a promise. Mm. And then if I talked to Jerry, and for whatever reason it seemed better for me to race. But I think I knew that I was focused on the 10, and that's where my heart was at. And it's, I don't know, I love Abby, and she's such a hard worker, so I'm really happy that she gets to go. But we had definitely had a conversation. It was hard because we had to make a decision that day, so it was a lot of back and forth, and we were waiting to go in to, like, the Hilton, where you have to kind of declare if you're going to run or not, and we were talking in the car for, like, a while, and poor, like, Jerry's kids were there, and, like, listening to all us going back and forth about everything, but I'm really happy with that decision, and just focusing on the 10.
That's got to be so hard, and whoever's waiting, like, for that next spot's just got to be like, okay, what's going to happen?
I know.
Hard for you to make the decision and for them to wait, you know?
Yeah, I know, definitely. It was weird. I didn't think, I guess I just wasn't even thinking I was going to have to make that decision, and then I realized I did, and I was like, oh, gosh, and this is kind of hard.
Yeah. So then you and Molly is not going in the 5K. You're not going in the fall. So who's all going in the 5K then?
So Shelby, Kim Conley, and Abby D'Agostino.
Okay, and Shelby's your teammate.
Yeah.
And she's the one that picture, like, went viral of you guys, like, hugging at the finish line or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. She's so cute. It's really funny. I wonder if anyone has a picture of me, because I probably had, like, 80 meters left to go when she was crossing the finish line. Uh-huh. I was, like, looking up ahead at her, and I, like, just had the biggest smile on my face, and I was, like, so happy and just really nice. And then Abby pulled up next to me, and I had to remind myself, like, oh, wait, you're still racing. Like,
you gotta
keep
get done.
Moving. Yeah. Like, don't celebrate Shelby before you finished your race.
Oh.
But it was just amazing. I mean, she worked so hard, and that girl is so talented. She's going to do some amazing, amazing things in her career, but it was just really exciting, and I love how emotional she got, and she's not someone who cries often, and it just was so touching and meant so much, and I know how hard she worked, and it's just really, really fun.
So you went to the trials 2012, 2016. What was the difference, like, training-wise, mentally? Like, did you feel more prepared this time around, regardless of, like, the whole injury situation?
I definitely did. In college, I think it was hard too, just because I was just excited to be going to the trials. Mm-hmm. So I had a totally different mindset. It was one of those things that I'm like, oh, I qualified for the trials. That's so cool. I was talking to my coach afterwards, and I think I probably went in a little too happy camper just to be there, and I should have been a little more focused. I was just psyched to have made it, and I was like, oh, this is crazy. I didn't think I'd be able to make this, and it was fun because I was still in my Georgetown uniform, so I just felt like I'm, like, still a college kid. It was really nice. And this time around, I really had dedicated 4 years to training for it. So I think that's one thing, too, that hit me when I got injured. I was like, the last 4 years are all for naught. Like, I just felt like my dream was slipping away. And I was like, I can't believe I've just dedicated 4 years to this. And now this happened. I was like, no, like, it seemed
so
devastating. But then at the same time, it was one of those things I try to remind myself. I had an awesome fall, an awesome winter. Like, it sucks that this injury happened. But it is heartbreaking looking at other people who got injured, like, 2 weeks before, or 3 weeks before, because it's, you really, like, you're going to the trials injured. That's hard. I mean, I went in healthy, and I was trying to be like, I can get myself healthy on the starting line. I don't know if I'll be in my best shape or fitness, but if I can get there healthy, I know I'll be as tough, like, tough mentally. And I really want it. And everyone has worked hard, and everyone's going to be tough. But I was like, I just have to try to be that tough too and see where it'll put me. But definitely a totally different mindset 2012 to 2016. And training was a ton different. I bumped up my mileage a ton, focused so much more on strength work. Jerry's workouts, he has some crazy workouts and some super hard workouts that I just, looking back, I think my college training was the absolute best for the time, for where I was at and for that time period in my life, just coming from high school. My coach was great in college, looking at what I did in high school. And then Coach Miltenberg kind of took that and wanted to not rush me and wanted to just He's like, I want you to focus on having a career for 10 years after college. And I feel like you said that to me. It was so funny in my head. I was like, I don't think I'll be able to do that. Like, do people do that? Like, is that a thing? But he was great. And he like had a super long-term plan and wanted to prepare me for that. And I'm super, super thankful for that, and that I didn't try to press myself too much in college and burn myself out. But then coming to Jerry and that kind of training was a huge shock. I had never done anything really like it. And it was just so much strength focused, and I focused a lot more on speed in college. So it's just it's a different sort of world, but I knew I was like the years I put in and the miles I've put in, and just trying to remind myself too of like the accumulation of workouts. I looked back at my training log just for the entire year, and I was like, you know what? I missed these 5 weeks, but let's see everything I did up to that point to give myself confidence. And then looking at kind of when I started running up until right before the trials to give myself confidence as well. Just be like, this is what you did, all this in you. You did all this training. Like, that can't just go away just because you took 5 weeks off. Like, it's still in your legs. Like, it'll take a little bit longer to remind your body and remind your legs how to work and move that fast, but it has to be in there. I'm like, can't not. It doesn't all just go away.
So when you're like peeking out your mileage, I mean, before your injury, how many miles a week are you running?
So this year I stuck, it's funny. So we count our miles at 8 minute pace.
Okay.
It's like a Badger Miles system, or Jerry did it. He coached at Wisconsin. They call it Badger Miles, but we just are now calling it Jerry Miles. but all the girls count their runs at 8 minute pace and the guys count it at 7 minute pace.
Okay.
So in my log, I was ranging mostly between 70 to 75. Maybe I hit a couple weeks of like 78 Jerry Miles. But it's like you're kind of giving an 8 minute pace, and we rarely run that slow.
Yeah.
So it's like you get cheated a lot. So it's funny. So last year, I think that was something I had a hard time, transitioning under Jerry's system, because I had only run, like, I maxed out not even at 70 in college. And then I came to Jerry's training and I started running, like 70 to 80 miles a week, but counting everything at 8 minute pace. So I was running a lot more than
right.
that. But this year I've tried to keep it more in that mostly 70 to 75 range. Some weeks a little bit lower, in like the upper 60s. So I'm guessing, I don't know. I was trying to keep track of my real miles, but probably in the 80s somewhere. I definitely don't run 90. But somewhere between probably 75 to 85 is what I bet I run.
So in the girls that are training for marathons are probably doing more like 110, 120.
Yeah.
Do you focus a lot on your diet?
I try to just make sure I'm eating a little bit of everything, and pretty well balanced. I do think that was something that coming out of college, I just didn't know that much about. And in college, it's super funny. I probably had like just a problem of going into the cafeteria and having unlimited everything and being like, oh my gosh, I can make Belgian waffle ice cream sandwiches every day. Like, I can make a Belgian waffle and just put scoops of ice cream and eat that. So when I came out of college, I was really focused on not doing that and trying to be healthy. But I think I got caught up too in like probably not having enough good fats in my diet. And that's something that's hard. It's like, I go to the store and I just didn't know. I'm like, oh, I'll get like this yogurt that's probably good for you, but no, it has so much sugar in it and it's like zero fat. Like, that's terrible for you. So I've been learning more and more the older I get. And I think it's as long as you have well balanced and a bit of everything. Luckily I have no food allergies or anything, so I can kind of eat whatever I want. And I think kind of what your body is craving. I just try to make sure I eat red meat, especially when we're at altitude, like twice a week at least. And I have meat basically every single day. Maybe I'll have one day a week where I have like tempeh or tofu and eggs and stuff like that instead of that. But just making sure I have a snack after my runs before core, and not super anal about anything, but just I let myself have treats. I let myself have some wine, some chocolate, and like ice cream occasionally, but just making sure I'm eating good food. And if I want like a little extra, I can have an extra treat instead of having like cupcakes for lunch and whatnot.
What's your go-to breakfast before? Well, I guess you guys are racing in the evening, though, aren't you? A lot of times.
Yeah. So I've had I raced at 11 in the trials, and I think I'm going to race 11 again.
Okay.
In Rio. So, which is funny to have morning races, mm-hmm. just because we normally do race at night. But I love oatmeal. I think that's one of my favorites. And it was so funny because on race day at the trials for the 10K, it was one of those days where you wake up and I'm like, my stomach was already kind of in knots. So mm-hmm. I had to like literally force feed myself. I just made some oats and banana, and then I like had some walnuts and peanut butter. But normally I feel like I would like to eat eggs or something with that as well. But I just was having a hard time just like getting that. And I was like, I need this fuel. Like, I'm going to run a long ways. Like, you need this right now. But if it's a morning race, I probably just have a big bowl of oatmeal with cinnamon and a banana and some peanut butter. And if it's a later race, I'll probably eat eggs and maybe an omelet and then have like a sandwich before the race.
Mm. How much do you warm up before the 10K?
We do 24 minutes. So that's okay. Like three miles.
Three Jerry miles.
three Jerry miles. So 24. I think I accidentally warmed up like 28 minutes just because I was like losing track of time. And I was like, oh, I'll do an extra little loop in that cemetery. And then I was like, oh, shoot, I'm warming up a little too long. But normally 20, 24 minutes and then just do some drills and strides. And I don't know. I don't do too many strides because I tell myself, like, oh, you're going to warm up in that race. So for the 5K, I feel like I have to do a little bit more. But, yeah, I don't know. It's funny because on workout days, I think I'm a little more diligent in doing drills than – whatnot, and I'll do activations on race day, but I think I'm just trying to keep myself calm, and time just goes by so quickly that all of a sudden I'm like, oh shoot, I barely did any drills, and I just have to do my strides, I have to put my spikes on, and we have to go.
So when you're standing on the line, they like pan the cameras on everybody, and are you, I mean, like, I always look at the girls, and I'm like, she looks really nervous. She looks pumped. She looks scared. I'm always like looking, like, what are you thinking when you're standing on the line?
I want to ask you, did you think anything when you saw me? Did you think I looked scared?
I think you looked calm. I think you looked calm.
Okay, oh, good, good.
And I see the girls racing like the 100, like the short distance sprinters. They're the ones that kind of have that like...
super intense.
Yes, more so than the distance for sure.
I don't know. I think I just try to stay relaxed in that sense and... I can definitely tell people that are antsy on the line, and mm-hmm. it's just something that I really try to calm myself. Even if my heart is beating out of my chest, I'm like, just try to maintain calm in your face, because I think that does help keep you calm overall and just not be too antsy, because it is nerve-wracking, but it's one of those things, too. I try to listen to, like, more chill music before my warm-up or right after my warm-up to kind of just, like, lower my mood, and like once the gun goes off, like my heart is for sure going to be pounding, but just to try to not like waste any energy. That's what I think too, and that's why I started wearing sunglasses. Someone told me, they're like, oh, if you're squinting your eyes, you're wasting energy. So I'm like, okay, I'll just put sunglasses on. I need all the energy I can get. Like, I want to save everything.
Did you race in your sunglasses?
I, not in the 5K, but I did in the 10K.
Okay.
It was, if it's sunny outside, I will. I used to hate wearing sunglasses. I never wore them in workouts or anything, and then I think last year, just because we were at altitude, my mom made me nervous. She's like, you're going to, like, kill your eyes, like, with all that sun and whatnot. So I started wearing sunglasses almost every single day, and it took me a while to get used to wearing them in workouts, and then just got in the habit of it, and now it feels kind of natural. And then it's kind of nice because also no one captures you on that downstride where your face is like that because I'm hidden in my sunglasses.
Uh-huh. Do you feel like with the 10K, like you know, like when I talk to Molly, she's like, it's just like a dog fight out there, you know, with the 800. It's like the race is there and done, you know? Do you feel like the gun goes off and you're kind of like have time to settle in and, you know what I mean? When does it get time to like fight?
Yeah, the 10K is so different from the 8. We were watching that. The 8 is so aggressive.
Yeah.
And it's just like everyone's there and it's like jostling. I was like, I would be so frazzled.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lot. But the 10 is, it's totally different. It's kind of, it's like more of a grinding event. So in my head, I try to tell myself like girls are going to fall off and it's kind of like whoever can hang on the longest. So that's one thing too. I'm like, just hang on, keep hanging on. 'Cause some people were making these crazy moves and running like all over the place. And it's just so funny to me. 'Cause like 4K into the race, like people are like, girls are behind me and then like making these hard moves. Why are you wasting all that energy? I don't know. I love running on the rail. I think too, like, I was like, I want to run like no extra distance right now. Like, I'm going to save my legs. I don't know what kind of shape I'm in. I'm not going to run on the outside. So I'm like, I'm going to run on the rail. I don't know where I'm going to get out in. And I think I was probably in like eighth place or sixth place for like a good chunk of the race. But I was like, just stay in your position. People will start to fall off. And I'm like, just like, don't let any gaps form. I was like, if Molly makes a big move, like, cover that move. But in my mind, there's no need to be making all these big aggressive moves when everyone's still packed and bunched up, because it's a long race to run. And I'm just trying to conserve as much energy as I can, because it's funny. It like creeps up on you. It's like a grind. So it's uncomfortable, but not like you don't feel bad. And I felt like actually super comfortable through 6K. And then it started to be like, okay, yeah, this feels like a grind. I feel like I'm don't feel that great. But just like keep moving, just keep on this pace, keep on this tempo. And then like five laps to go, I was like, oh, this doesn't feel good. And then three laps to go, I was like, oh my gosh, hold yourself together. Like, keep moving.
Stay with this pack.
Yes, yes.
Because if you're in eighth place, but you're with the pack, you're essentially like, as long as I'm with the pack, I'm good. Is that kind of how you
felt? Yeah, definitely. And because I mean, it would be different if there was like two laps to go. I'd probably be a little more nervous. But when there's still a lot of running left, I'm like, we still have 3 miles to go.
Like, yeah.
It's not as bad. But yeah, I think as long as you cover moves and don't try to waste energy. And it's funny, it's at least in the couple 10Ks I've run, it does seem to be people fall off the pace. And if you can hang on the pace and just keep in your position and remain calm, girls, it's hard because once you start moving backwards, it's like you can really move backwards and like you fall off hard. And that's a hard thing. So I don't want to go through that. So I try to force myself to be like, you're going to hurt for a lap and then like you'll get a reprieve. And if I'm still hurting, I'm like, okay, just push this lap and then maybe you'll like feel a little better. Because it is a weird, have you run 10Ks? Like, do you feel like that? Like you kind of go through ebbs and flows where you like get a second wind and you're like, I feel a little better. And then you're like, no, I feel terrible. Okay, I feel a little better.
I've actually only raced one and it wasn't even a full 10K. It was a 6 mile race. So like technically it wasn't a 10K, but I race marathons. So I'm not like, that's a really, it's a really scary distance for me because I feel like you have to run fast the entire time. But yeah, I remember thinking the one time I did race the 6 miler, I was like, once I got to mile three, I was like, you should be hurting really bad right now because like you only have a 5K to go. And to me, in my like marathon brain, like
that's
5K is not very far. So I was like, you need to be working hard this entire time. You can't just like hang out. But I know what you're saying. Yeah, because you have ebbs and flows in marathons too.
Yeah. Oh gosh, marathon. That's amazing.
So when you get to the last lap, are you like, all right, just like lay it all out there?
Yeah, I try to, but for whatever reason, Jerry like gave me such a hard time watching my, he's like, I don't know what happened, but like, I looked at you, you look so smooth, like your second to last lap, you look great. And he's like, the last lap, you're fighting, you're looking gritty, you're all over the place. He's like, I looked at the splits, your second to last lap was faster than your last lap.
Oh, really?
I was like, Jerry, that's so embarrassing. Because I was trying. He's like, you were trying really hard and you ran slower. He's like, I don't know how that happened.
Did you know that? Would you have assumed that?
No, I don't know. Molly took off and all I know is my legs didn't respond. And she just kind of, like, I feel like we were chipping down the pace each lap and I could feel that, like, that kind of grind. But I was stoked with the lap to go. I was like, I'm still right here. Like, I could win this. Like, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Molly took off and I was like, oh yeah, no, I'll be back here.
You didn't tell me that you were going to do that.
Yeah. I took off and I just couldn't respond. And I was trying with all I had to be like be gritty, like do everything you can. And everything I could do was lower than my second to last lap.
Do you ever look to the side to see like if there's a girl, like how do you evaluate like that last 100 meters? Like is someone coming up on me or do you feel like you're wasting energy if you look to the side and you just give it all you got?
Yeah, I don't know. I try not to do that, but it is one of those things that it's terrible. And like even in that 5K, I knew Shelby felt really good behind me. So I was like, go ahead. And then I was like, okay, like stay in your position. And then Kim Conley comes up on me and just like, again, like blazes past me. And I was like, oh, oh, fudge. Like, I'm going to keep moving backwards. Like, I was like, I don't know where anyone else in this race is. Like, I feel like I'm just about to get swallowed by the pack. So I was like, shoot. Like, don't freak out. Don't stress out. Like, just keep running. And I was like, we're almost there. You have like 200 meters to go. Like, you can hold it together. But it's funny how that happens. And I do feel like you can feel people coming up on you. But I just try to keep running and, not get too stressed about it.
So I always wonder when I see people like side look. I think it was one of the guys in the steeple. I don't know. One of the guys kept looking to the side. I think it was an army guy.
Oh.
And he ended up holding on. I think he got second or third. Like he's going. But I remember thinking, is he wasting energy? But or is that giving him the motivation to like stay in his position, you know?
Yeah. In my mind, I feel like that would freak me out and I would get thrown off my rhythm, but it might work for some people.
Yeah.
I just don't think I could do that and hold it together.
So you said your coach talked about, I want to set you up for a 10-year professional career. So one of my questions I wanted to ask you is, where do you see yourself in 10 years? So you'll be 36.
Oh gosh. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I see myself still running competitively at that point. It's hard to say just because you never know what's going to happen. And luckily I've had injuries, but nothing has been like career ending injuries. And I hope I don't keep getting injured every year because I seem to get injured every single year. And that's like, I'm like, if that keeps happening, like I might retire earlier than I want to. But I definitely would love to test out the marathon at that point. And I want to be involved in running in some way. I don't know exactly what I want to do yet. But in 10 years from now, if I'm not competitively running, I want to be involved in the sport in some way. So we'll just see. Hopefully the closer it gets, I'll have a more clear picture of exactly what I want to do and where I see myself fitting in.
You can be like the sideline person evaluating everybody. What was your degree in? What did you go to school for?
I was in the business school and got operation information management, was my major. So it was like computer science and, information systems. And then I was one class short of a double major in finance, but I just decided to take a really easy second semester senior year. So I took really no classes that would have helped me in any way. I took a bunch of fun electives and I was like, I could take another finance class or I'll just take some electives. Like, I'll take some electives.
Like, and by the time you get to doing all that stuff, you'll start doing things experience-based anyway. It's so funny because I feel like in college, it's all about your degree. But then I'm like, gosh, any job that I've applied for in the last, or been involved with, nobody looks twice at what my degree was in, you know?
Oh, good. That makes me feel better.
So 10 years ago, did you picture yourself where you are now?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think I have, like, dreamed about this. And I always watch the Olympics, and I love it. And I think I'm really happy to be where I'm at and just feel really lucky and blessed. And it is something that I think, in my mind, I wanted to do. I just didn't know if it would happen. So, I'm happy.
Do you know what day you'll race?
August 12th.
August 12th. I'll have to mark that. I mean, I'll be watching either way, but.
Oh,
are you, like, nervous at all to go to Rio, just in general with, like, safety and all that?
Yeah, I don't know. So Amy and Shalane went with Jerry and then Amy's husband, Alistair, and they checked it out and checked out the marathon course. And they said it was awesome. Like, they really loved it, and they said it, like, seemed really safe. They never felt unsafe. And granted, they traveled together always. But I'm excited more than anything. I think I do have to be smart, too. It's one of those things that you can't – you have to be aware of your surroundings and where you're at and just not travel alone, be smart, make sure you're with people. And two, just with, like, Zika and everything, just make sure – we're already going and going to, like, try to test out bug sprays and just not freak out about it because it's one of those things that – I mean, as long as I'm smart and I'm doing what I can, I'm hoping, like, hopefully that'll be enough. And I don't think they would, if it was really unsafe, I couldn't see them having us there.
Right.
It's just, like, in my mind, like, I don't want to, like, then push it off and be like, oh, it's totally fine. I can do whatever I want. But I'm like, I really feel like if there was, like, I know they're making this big deal about all these issues and whatnot, but I think if it was really that bad, they wouldn't have it there. Like, they wouldn't send all these athletes there. At least I don't think so. So I think that helps ease my mind a bit, and knowing that everyone's, going to be there together and whatnot, and there's just a big, like, big group of people and lots of people coming from all over. But at the same time, I can't lose my head about me and just be like, oh, it's fine. Everything's okay. Like, you're still in a foreign country regardless. And there's a lot going on there and a lot of health issues as well. So I just have to be smart.
So, yeah, because I read something, like, isn't a bunch of female golfers, like, aren't going because of it?
Yeah, I think a lot of the big-time golfers have all turned it down.
Where they play, though, isn't it kind of more, like, mosquito-infested or something?
Maybe. That's why, and that's one thing, too, that seems funny to me is that talking to Amy and Shalane, too, about previous Olympics and kind of how the setup is, this seems very different because everything is kind of far away. It's like everything is like an hour away. So it's just a drive to get there. They don't have one big kind of like community. It's super, super spread out, I think, because of certain areas that aren't the best areas to be in and whatnot. So it'll definitely be different, but it's also my first time, so I don't know what to expect or like I don't know any different. So for me, it's all like, I'm like, okay, like, that's fine. That seems cool. Like, if that's what it is. And they're like, oh, no, it's normally not like this. But I'm just excited in general for the experience. And, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, when you're not in your hotel or whatever, you're going to be, like, traveling in packs of with your teammates and your coach. So you'll be safe.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
I can't go this whole interview without mentioning that you got a bronze medal in Beijing. Was that last year? We never talked about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's a huge deal.
Oh, thank you.
When you did that, though, were you kind of like, okay, I could go to the Olympics. I could make it to the Olympics.
I think at that point in my mind, I was just so shocked. It was really crazy. I can't believe the race played out like that. It was just really funny to me. And, I don't know. I just felt really good that whole race. And I think I was surprised. I was just like, these women have run time so much faster than I have. So I was just like waiting for people to go. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny. It was like no moves were really made. We had a really like a fast last 800 and a really fast last lap, but we were running pretty like comfortably for the majority of the race. So it was just funny. I was expecting it to be something I couldn't handle. And I was pleasantly surprised that I could handle it. So I think that definitely gave me confidence. I'm like, if I can do this good on the world stage, I think that bodes well for next year. Granted, you never know. And then, too, looking at the start list for the Olympics, I'm like, oh, gosh, like, that's going to be really, it's going to be really hard. And I'm like, it's going to be probably an insanely fast race and insane from the gun. So I've never been in a 10K where we've gone out hard. I've only raced, four 10Ks four 10Ks so far. And every race, it's really funny, it's played out exactly the same. It's like we go out in like 16, teen, 16, 20, and then we have a fast second 5K. I'm like, it'll be interesting. Shalane's like, oh, prepare to go out in 15, 20. And I was like, all right. Like, we'll see how I feel off of that.
will your race be before the marathon?
Mm-hmm.
So she'll probably be there for your race, and then you'll be able to go for the marathon?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they want to come to the race, but I hope they don't because I don't want them to get like, I just want them to focus on
their race. Well, is it the same week? How far is it?
So I'm the 12th and they're the 14th.
Okay,
Yeah, so it's close. But I definitely want, I was already talking to Jerry because we were figuring out how late I'm going to stay after the race. And I'm like, I really want to watch the marathon.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely stay for that. And I want to stay and watch other people as well, but I think too because of health concerns and whatnot, they don't want us staying in Rio for too long, which is a bit of a bummer because it's something that I'm like, oh man, like I want to experience all of this, but I also, don't want to be in a place if it's unsafe or whatnot for too long.
Will you be there for the opening ceremonies?
No. So I think too, I just heard you're on your feet for like 10 hours. And talking to people, they're like, you're so drained. Like, you're going to feel terrible.
Yeah.
So Jerry's like, he's like, I don't want you doing that. He's like, I get it's a really cool experience, but, like, you're here to race. Like, the race is the priority. So I don't think we'll go to that, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm so excited for you.
Oh, thanks.
and we will be cheering for you. We have to do a couple fun questions before we wrap up.
Oh,
we're like at an hour seven, so we have to.
Oh my gosh,
to.
I'm sorry. I go off.
No, it's good.
Literally on tangents forever.
No, my favorite interviews are when I ask a question and people like answer.
Like a 10-minute response.
Well, you answer the question and then some, and that's awesome because people want to hear that.
Okay.
So are you a reader? Do you read books?
Yes, I love reading.
What's the best, most recent book you've read?
Oh, gosh. I read Tuesdays with Maury a couple of days or like a week ago, that one. And then I read this book. It's called You Are a Badass. It's awesome. I would recommend to anyone.
Who wrote it?
Just like super, super uplifting. I don't know. I borrowed it from Shelby. She read it and she's like, you have to read this. And I read it right after and I was like, this is amazing. I'm like, I need to buy this book for myself. It's really good. I'll send you when I find out who wrote it.
I'll Google it and I'll probably I'll put it in the show notes. So you're obviously, we've talked about you're into The Bachelor.
Oh yeah.
So have you watched, I mean, I feel like when The Bachelor came out though, you had to have been like 12 because I'm 32.
Yeah.
And I probably came out when I was in college.
Yeah.
So how long have you been watching?
I remember my friends, a couple of my good friends back home, like, loved it. Mm. And I remember watching, like, they would watch it in high school, and I was like, oh, this is stupid. And then in college, somehow, I feel like I started to get sucked in. And it was one of those things that we would have just kind of, like, watch parties of certain shows and whatnot. It became really fun. And then I love it. It's, just such a guilty pleasure, addicting. But I think probably the last couple years, too, I've gotten really into it, and it seems to fall whenever we're at altitude camp, so we're, like, looking for something to watch. Mm. So it's fun because we're like, oh, Monday night is bachelor night or bachelorette night. So, like, last night we just made I made 5 pizza doughs, and then I was getting work done massage, so the other girls were, like, topping them and doing, like, cooking chicken and stuff for them. So we had, like, pizza and bachelorette night.
So fun.
But then it got interrupted halfway through, and then we all just stopped watching, and we had to finish
it. What did they get interrupted for?
For the Republican convention.
It did?
Yes.
Wait a minute. So, I swear I watched it till 9:30, and it didn't interrupt here.
Really?
Yeah. And then finished it on Hulu today.
Because I'm on Mountain Time, and you're on.
That's it.
So it was okay. Yeah, so it's weird. So here it's 7 to 9.
Okay.
So
and
we watched it
10 here.
Yeah, so we watched it 7 to 8, and then the convention came on, and we were watching that for like a little bit, and watching I'm terrible. What's Trump's wife's name? It's Melina or something.
Yeah, and somebody said she like stole parts of Obama's speech or something.
Yeah, everyone was going off. It was so like. So funny talking about that this morning. So anyways, we were like, okay, like we wanted to watch trash TV tonight and like we're just going to turn off the TV now and read or whatever.
Yeah, I always make it till like, because it's 8 to 10 here and like 10 is pretty late for me. So I like usually make it till about like 9:15 and then I go upstairs in my room and we don't have a TV in our room. And like sometimes I wish we did so that I could finish it in bed.
Yeah.
But I think for most nights, it's probably a better thing that we don't have TV in our room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is funny because I did an interview with my friend Caitlin Pilkington, and we talked about The Bachelorette before it started. So we like picked our top 3 guys based on their pictures.
Yeah.
Like there was this article that was out about it rated the guys based on their terribleness based on their shirts. And so anyway,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, one of the guys that I picked though was Chad, and I didn't even realize that. I think though my other guy though that I picked was what's Aaron Rodgers' brother's name?
Jordan,
and then Chase. Those are my other two.
Yeah, Chase is my new favorite. I'm like nervous he's gonna get eliminated.
I think I like Luke. Well, if you didn't finish it, and this won't give anything away, but I think I liked Luke after like all the hometowns last night. I think I liked him the best, maybe based on his family, but
yeah, I liked Luke a ton. He's cute. He was my number one pick.
I kind of
the get-go.
I kind of, like, ignored him. I really haven't paid attention to him.
Yeah, he's quiet, and he's, like, super monotone, so I think that's, like, I was like, oh, he's like seemed so monotone, which is terrible, but for some reason it like catered my picture of him, and I was like, oh, I'm bummed I picked him. Like, I don't really think I like him, but I think I'm liking him again.
Well, and last night, because Robbie's like, everybody knows Robbie is like, he's got the hot bod or whatever. He was like a swimmer.
Yeah.
But last night, when my husband always like watches some, he was actually watching the Republican National Convention thing on his like iPad. And I had the big TV.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But he was like, is he gay? And I'm like, no, he's not gay. But now that you say that, I guess I can kind of see like he has a couple of, you know, like some of his mannerisms are a little bit feminine.
Yeah. And his style choices are like a lot sometimes.
That's
probably it.
Yeah. That's probably it too. So, okay. So your pick right now is?
Oh gosh. I picked Luke from the get-go, so I'm just going to keep that one and say that.
Maybe you did. Luke okay.
Yeah.
Did you like JoJo on The Bachelor when she was on The Bachelor?
I really liked her.
Yeah.
I thought she was really sweet. I think I could tell that he, like, loved Lauren, but then I wasn't sure, because then when he told JoJo he loved her, I was like, oh, my gosh, he's totally changing his mind. He's going to pick JoJo now, and I was so thrown off. But I felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
Like, how heartbreaking was that?
I know. And they totally made it seem like he was going to pick her.
Yeah.
When they did that. I know. I always said that I felt like Lauren... I don't know why, probably because of JoJo's family and Lauren's family. I felt like Lauren was the safer choice.
Yeah.
Like, he was probably just like, okay, I might love both of these girls, but, like, after their hometowns or whatever, like, whose family do I want to spend the rest of my life with? Because, like, let's be honest, you marry your husband or your wife, but, like, you're probably going to spend a lot of time with their family for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah.
So you're on Snapchat. I just stalked your Twitter before I got on this interview. I was like, I'm going to look at her Twitter and see what she's up to. Do you do it a lot?
Yeah. I feel like I try to now. I like it. The filters are so funny and it's like kind of addicting.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. Are you on Snapchat?
So I got on Snapchat in like 2013 and 2013. And I never got the hang of it. And I was like, whatever. So I deleted it from my phone.
Yeah.
But then recently everybody's like, no, you have to do Snapchat. You have to do Snapchat.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it again. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. I don't ever send people Snapchats. I just like add them to my story.
Yeah.
You know? And it's always like my kids running in the yard or like me running on the trail or... You know, I don't know. I just feel like they're not very interesting, so I don't know if anybody actually wants to see them.
Oh, no. I feel like they're fine. Mine are all, I don't know. Mine are never that interesting, especially when we're up here. It's like what we're eating or if we're like where we're running. And if I find something silly at the grocery store.
It's like, just such a weird platform, though. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm always just like kind of like, I guess, what's the point? I don't know.
Yeah. It was, I think when I got like used to it too, it just seemed to me like, oh, it's a quick thing. Like if you see something funny, you can like take a quick snap and be like, oh, I want to send this to my sister. I want to send this to my best friend from home and like go through the list. So I felt weird being like, I don't want to put up a story because I feel like it's really personal. Like I don't know who's watching this. So that was like the one thing, it was hard to like feel like people are like, oh no, you have to put it to your story so like people can see it. But I'm like, but, like, what if I don't know them? Like,
that's, like, people. Weird. Yeah.
And I didn't know exactly what to do. People were telling me, like, oh, like, you, it's, like, a way to, I don't know, like, market yourself kind
right.
of. So I kept getting requests from people I didn't know. And I was just like, oh, I guess I should add them. I was, like, waiting for a while. And then I just added a bunch of people. And then Colleen told me, she's like, Emily, you just have to make your story public. Like, don't add all those people you don't know. And I was like, oh, wait, shoot. So then I, like, deleted all of them. And like,
oh, because you were following them back.
Because I was following them back.
And you don't want to see, then your story's all, your stuff's all clogged up.
Yeah, I had, like, a million things. And I was like, I don't know who, like, a lot of them were just, like, high schoolers.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know who these people are. And, like, I'm following them. So I was like, oh, shoot, like, clearly I don't know that, like, get the hang of this quite yet, but.
Well, that's one thing that I was, like, that's kind of, like you said, to market yourself, like, you know, I'm always, like, looking for ways to, like, get my podcast out there, and I'm like.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I have to, like, join Snapchat, because, like, that's part of the deal now, but I'm like, I don't really know how I'm marketing my podcast on it, because, like, a couple times I've taken, like, a snap of, like, myself editing an interview, or, like, I'll take a Snapchat of, oh, you know what? I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna snap our, here, let me do it. I'm gonna snap our,
perfect.
Let me see.
I love that.
That's so fun. People will like that, right? But I don't even know how many people follow me because I don't pay attention. Okay, here we are. Can you see me?
So perfect.
We're talking with Emily Enfield.
Hello.
And I'll have another. Snapchatting.
Hey.
See, but so that's fun.
Okay.
But I don't know how much it marks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how do you get people to say, follow me on Snapchat to see the story of a preview of my podcast interview with Emily Enfield, you know?
Yeah.
So funny.
I know. Uh-huh. It's weird. I know. I feel like I like tweeted it the other day because I put up a picture of a story and then I was like, actually, like, follow me, anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's my name.
I've been posting that a little bit lately and I'm like, I don't know why, but do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, two more questions and I'll let you go because I know you probably have things to do. You need to rest or run or eat or do something.
Oh, no.
Are you doing Pokemon Go?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Is it terrible?
So Amy Craig got it and she was telling us about it and Shelby is so funny. She got it and within one day was like already way ahead of us and we had had it a couple days. But Evan Jaeger is doing it too. So I was asking him, it's just, I don't know. It's silly. And it's funny to me because there's all these stories about people, like two guys that like walked off a cliff playing it. And
seriously,
it's like,
yeah.
One of those things that I'm like, how are you so unaware of your surroundings? Like I guess it's like fun, but it's one of those things that I don't think I could get that addicted to it. It's like, I'll put it on and I'll see if there's like anything around me. And I keep catching these things called Weedles.
Mm.
I don't know. I have like 30 Weedles in my collection and I was like, cool, I have all these Weedles. Like, I don't know what they are or what they do. And Shelby's like, Emily, like, you have to, like, spin these wheels and you'll get more Pokeballs and all this stuff. And, like, you have to, like make them stronger or, like, make them bigger. And I'm like, how? I don't get it. Like, I just want more Weedles. I want to be the Weedle Queen. Like, I'll just get all of them.
That's so funny. I need to download it just to see what everybody's talking about.
Yeah. It's, like, super silly, but it's fun when you, like, turn it on and there's something in your vicinity.
Uh-huh.
And then, but I'm so bad. I feel like I waste all my Pokeballs because I don't know how to aim it, so I'm just like throwing them everywhere like mindlessly, and then finally I catch something and it's like, sorry, you're out of ammo, like you can't catch anything else.
Well, and
but
I think
it's,
I read
funny
somewhere that like someone, like people like broke into somebody's house, or like, I'm like, this,
oh,
is getting,
yeah,
really creepy and weird.
No, I, yeah, it's one of those things that it's like kind of, it's entertaining, but I just don't see how someone gets so sucked into it that they're like, like, some girl, like, walked into the street and got hit by a car. It's, like, really scary.
That's scary.
I think it's good in the sense that it's trying to get people, yeah, it's, like,
people
trying to get people to be outside,
like,
so you're not just, like, playing,
yeah,
video games in front of your computer, like, totally zoned out to the world. But then it's, like, if you go outside and you're looking at your phone and just, like, so unaware because you're, like, zoned in, like, trying to catch everything around you, you're, like, walking into the middle of the street without paying attention. I don't get it.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we have a canal downtown Indy, like, it's like a 2.6 mile loop, and like, I guess everybody just like looks like zombies on the canal, like the past couple weeks, just because everybody's playing and nobody's paying attention to each other. I'm like, I'm surprised somebody hasn't fallen into,
yeah,
the canal. Okay, so
yeah,
last,
seriously,
question.
Yeah.
I always ask, like, what are you into right now? Like, what's your favorite thing that you would recommend? Like, I saw you were drinking a LaCroix. Right? Were you just drinking LaCroix?
Oh, yeah.
What are you into? That, like,
yes,
anything fun.
I love
fun.
LaCroix.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, gosh. I mean, up here, I love seltzer water so much. It's so good. I'm trying to think. Nails. I love getting, like, fun nail polishes. We got our nails done white. We got gel with, like, I got white and sparkles on mine. So I think I'm going to do that again. And I just dyed my hair. So it's, like, blonde. It used to be brown. Another fun thing. But...
Oh, you, yeah, dyed it blonde.
Yeah, we have a friend who's a hairdresser up here, and she actually dyed my hair earlier in May, and she dyed it purple on the bottom and then, like, silver on top. It looked insane. And it was one of those things that I was like, I might as well try it because then no one's going to see me. So she dyed it, like, highlighted it and made it blonder and then dyed it, like, purple on purple, and then it was, like, silver. It looked kind of cool, but I was, like, so shocked because I normally don't do things like that, and she, like, ombre'd my hair last year, but then did that, so it was a lot. So I think just trying new fun things, I guess, with my hair and nails.
Are you going to do it again?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to like keep it a little more natural. Yeah, it was a little shocking, but it was really cool. Like she did a great job and it looked like awesome. It just was like looked, I was like, if I was like a Victoria's Secret model, I would totally rock hair like this. But I feel like I look so strange like doing this right now. I don't look like me. So
I had I did like this pink streak in my hair for a while. And then it got like, I just kept doing more. So I got it, kept getting it done. Like, so 3 different times I got it done and I really liked it. But then this last time I was like, I think we're going to like fade it out and move on. But now I miss it. But I'm also like, I'm 27 weeks pregnant right now. So like, I'm like,
congratulations.
Thank you. Ah. I'm like this pregnant girl with like a pink streak in her hair. Like I was at this luncheon the other day with a lot of like business professionals and, I'm mostly a stay-at-home mom. Like I do this podcast and do some other things here and there, but I'm not like in the corporate world. And I was like, man, I would really stick out like a sore thumb with that big pink streak in my hair.
So, I love it though. I feel like it's fun. It's like a little bit of sassy in there.
Yeah. So I'm going to, if I stalk through your Instagram, will I see the purple and gray?
Yeah.
You have it in some pictures? Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you talking with me today. This is so fun.
Yeah, this is fun. Thank you. Gosh, sorry. I was like going off on tangents forever. Some long-winded answers in there.
No, it's good. It's honestly exactly what I was looking for. So I really appreciate it.
Okay, perfect.
Best of luck.
Good chatting.
We will be cheering for you. I will be cheering for you from Indianapolis when you compete. So I'm excited.
Awesome. Okay. Yay. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Emily. All right, everybody, that wraps up episode 21. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Emily, for coming on. As always, my next new episode will be released next Friday. Okay, have a great weekend. I'll see you next time.